This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's John Dalrymple Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see johncast.net.
Our first question today comes from Terry, who asks, when does a photon of light stop being a photon? As space-time is stretched, does it evolve into something else? Is there a photon equivalent in the radio spectrum?
Well, that's a really interesting question. There's two different concepts that are mixed up in this question. The first one is related to the nature of light. It's not always a concept easy to grasp. It took me quite a few years to actually get it. Light can be both seen as a wave or a particle interchangeably, and the particle is called a photon. When you talk about different type of light, such as the visible light, the infrared, the radio, what you're talking about is different wavelengths for the light. This corresponds when you're kind of transposing this into the particle view of light as a photon with different energy. So it's inversely proportional to the wavelength. So the energy of a visible photon will be higher than the energy of a radio photon. So in the radio spectrum, it's still photons. It's just photons with different energies than photons for different type of light. The second thing is the part that says, when does a photon stop being a photon? Photon can disappear. They can be absorbed by atoms and particle. This is actually the way a lot of chemical reaction happen. Similarly, photon can be emitted during chemical reactions like that.
So like the photon can be absorbed by the atom and...
And it gives its energy, basically.
Okay, increases its energy of the atom.
The photon is basically a particle that has no mass but just energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just inputting energy to the atom, which reacts to it.
Okay. Our second question comes from Jod of the Oak, who says, what is the Cassini division?
The Cassini division has to do with the rings of Saturn. So if you look at Saturn from Earth, you'll see the rings and you see like a dark kind of gap between the main outer ring.
Mm-hmm.
You see like first ring, gap, second ring.
Yeah.
This is a gap that was observed by Giovanni Cassini in 1675 while he was working at the Paris Observatory, hence the name, Cassini division. Division is called by something called resonance, which is a bit complicated. It's, like, physically speaking, the tendency of a system to oscillate at a greater amplitude at some frequencies than other. So every system has a natural frequency associated to it. The best example, for example, is a suspended bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Suspended bridge is like, you know, a string that you're holding from both sides. And because of its length, it's going to have a certain frequency that's associated to it.
Okay.
If you have something like wind that will make this bridge move at the same frequency,
mm-hmm.
the bridge will go crazy. The amplitude will go crazy.
It'll start to vibrate at a really high amplitude.
Try to YouTube or Google the Tacoma Bridge.
Okay.
You'll see what I mean. what I mean by resonance. It's just everything gets disturbed. It's the same thing with the rings of Saturn. Saturn has moons,
mm-hmm.
and the rings around Saturn feel the gravitational potential, the gravity from both the planet and the moons.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some distances for which the frequency that's associated with the planet
mm-hmm.
and the one associated with the moon get into that crazy mode
of
resonance. In the case of the Cassini division, it's the resonance between Saturn and its moon Mimas. At this particular distance between the two, the particles at this distance will orbit twice for every time the moon orbit once.
Okay.
That's like this kind of like integer number of orbit are the resonances. And everything goes havoc and just goes crazy, hence why the particles cannot stay.
They find it too difficult to stay there.
Yeah.
So the gap appears.
Exactly.
Okay, brilliant. Our next question comes from HMW, who says, we're all high potential engineers and physicists, so we could homebrew a spacecraft anytime we want, can't we? But what are the legal implications? As far as I know, there are national and international laws regulating lower airspace, but what about outer space? Is anybody allowed to send a probe into space? What happens if the probe hits another probe by accident? Is there anything like flight levels as we know them from aviation?
That's a really cool question. So since I was planning since I was a little kid to send my own spacecraft to space, I researched a little bit into this. Turns out that in terms of altitude at which airspace is not airspace anymore, but outer space, there's absolutely no international agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because it's very difficult to define how do you define the boundary between airspace and outer space? Is it as far as any aircraft or balloon can go, which is mm-hmm. about 30 kilometers? Or is it the lowest orbit at which you can have a stable orbit, which mm-hmm. is about 160 kilometers? So 160, it's a bit difficult. And that limit actually depends on the country. Each country defines their own limit between airspace and outer space. So the Fédération Aéronautique Internationale, which sounds French probably because it's French, defines that limit at about 100 kilometers.
Okay.
But the US, for example, set it at 80 kilometers. Well, it's more than that. The rules are if you go further than 80 kilometers above Earth, mm-hmm. you're considered an astronaut.
Okay.
Because you've been to outer space.
Oh.
So, we don't know, and there's no legal implication to this limit. So I think